Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, the podcast all about flowers. We hope you have your shopping lists ready.
Yep, get those pens and paper ready, ladies and gents, because this week, guess who's back? The Director of Enabling, Marin. She doesn't really need an introduction, but I've given it to her anyway. She's here and ready and armed to talk about spring bulbs. So just, if you're listening in the garden, you might want to plan a second listen in the house with a pen. I'm just saying.
I've been known to make people shop a little bit more.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, not much. Just.
Good morning, girls. I know it's afternoon where you guys are, but it's bright and early here.
It's like the crack of dawn for you. Actually in darkness.
Yes, it is 5 a.m.
You've got the lights on, but you know. So thank you so much for this early morning start for you. I know you've got absolutely masses on at the moment at the farm. You've just concluded a very successful dahlia sale, although I say concluded, but you're currently in packing hell, right?
We are in an all-out sprint right now. Ooh. Trying to get all these dahlias. We're finishing up today packaging the last, I think we have 6 varieties to go, and then we're going to start shipping. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It was an absolutely amazing sale, and yeah, it went really, really well. I'm still kind of speechless about it, but yeah, so we've got lots of dahlias to ship out in a short amount of time.
Not to mention all the other farm stuff, right?
Oh yeah, 13,000 sweet peas are going in the ground right now, plus all of the bulbs are blooming, and yeah, so it's
no spoilers.
Lots going on. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
And what did you just tell me before we started recording at 4:30 a.m. this morning? Who phoned you with what news?
Oh, no.
Oh, so the post office called me this morning at 4:30 telling me that our chicks have arrived at the post office. So you never get that good service when, you know, unless there's a live animal involved with the post office. They're like, you can come anytime and just ring the doorbell.
Oh. Get these freaking chicks out of our post office.
Yeah, so as soon as I'm done with you guys, we're going to head down to the post office and get our new babies.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, we have 20 girls. 20 girls.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah,
and
I'm super
excited. They're little chicks, aren't they? Not like the ones I just got, the big girls.
No, they're tiny, tiny, tiny babies. But watching yours, Nicole, I can't wait. It just made me so much more excited.
I was wondering when Nicole would get her chicken mum news into the segment. She just slid that one in there, you know, like, oh, my chickens. Oh, my name's Nicole and I've got chickens. Loved it.
She's a proud bird mom. Come on.
I'm
going to be there in no time. Aww. Just wait. We've got chicks, I've got the boys, and the bullies are coming. So watch out.
It's going to be a proper menagerie over there, not just flowers.
Nope. Everything that starts with B. Blooms, boys, birds, and bullies.
That kind of leads us on to today's conversation. Also a B word.
Yep.
Bulbs! Blooming bulbs, I should
say.
We want to talk to you all about the amazing spring bulbs that you've got blooming at the farm at the moment. So obviously, you know, they all get planted in the winter, and that horrific part of farming is out of the way, because I know you were planting late this year, weren't you? And it was freezing and snowing and all sorts. It is just the worst job, isn't it? You know, when you're doing all of that and you're thinking like, why am I putting myself through this hell?
Oh yeah. But you know what? I mean, right. It's kind of like the dahlias, you know, when you're digging them and you're dividing them, you're just like, why am I doing this? You know? And then when they start blooming, you forget all of it. It's kind of like having children, honestly. Like, you go through all the labor, and then as soon as they're here, you forget about it. So yeah, it's kind of the same way with bulbs. Like, you forget about digging the trench and planting them on your knees and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But my obsession continues with spring flowers. It's such a beautiful time of the year, and then, you know, after a long, hard winter, especially the winter we just had, we got down to 3 degrees, which is unheard of for us. And that's Fahrenheit for all the Celsius people.
What's that in Celsius? Yeah. I'm going to Google it.
Yeah.
Bloody cold.
Yeah, it was cold. We've never been that low. So that we had record-breaking temps this winter.
It's minus 16.
Oh, you can Google faster than me. Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah.
I didn't know you could survive those temperatures. I assumed humans would die that cold. Not to be dramatic.
I thought I was going to with getting all the snow off the tunnels and all of that. So just, you know, flower farming in the winter is a beast in itself. But yeah, I'm really, really excited with all the blooms that are happening right now. So the daffodils are exploding and the first round of tulips is going and the second round is just about to pop. So it's a lot of fun.
So how many bulbs did you plant?
Oh, good Lord, Nicole.
13,000?
Did you say 2,000?
I said 13.
13.
Oh, no. 13,000 sweet peas. I would say, oh my gosh, I planted probably... just daffodils alone, probably another 10,000.
On top of what's already there?
Yeah, on top of what's already there. Oh. And then I would say tulips. Oh, man. It's too early to do all this math.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're fine. I would say at least 8,000 tulips.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so just a handful then. Probably like a day's work, you know? It doesn't take that long to plant that, you know? Yeah, easy.
No. Well, and that's another thing, like trying to beat the weather. And my tulips this year, I actually grew them in crates where I've never grown them in crates before. And I've always put them in the ground, you know, right by the daffodils. But I absolutely fell in love with growing them in crates. So I'm actually going to do that probably from now on.
So is that like the crates that you get the wholesale bulbs delivered in? You're just basically recycling them and planting the bulbs in them?
Yeah, yeah. So you just put, and it cuts down on the dirt that you actually have to use because you don't have to make, you know, you don't have to dig a deep trench and all of that kind of stuff. And they are performing actually, I mean, beautifully. Even better than, I think, honestly, when they were planted in the ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you like, do you line the crate then with cardboard or something or newspaper? How do you do it?
I just put the dirt right into the crate and just put the just put the bulbs like right on top and then, you know, covered them. And they're, I mean, even with the 3 degrees temperature, they've been just fine.
Oh, cool. And did you just leave them outside or did you bring any in the tunnel to get some early bloomers or?
I have both. So I have my early bloomers in the tunnel that are rocking and rolling right now. And then I have my second round that's outside. No, it's been really a lot of fun. I've learned a lot just how strong they are and what they can withstand. You know, those freezing temps are nothing to joke about. And when they're above the ground, yeah. So, and they've been just fine. So yeah, bring on the tulip.
And so when did they start flowering for you? How early did you manage to get them to start rumbling?
Oh man, they were just after, the first round was just after Valentine's Day. Of course it was like, I think 10 days after Valentine's Day.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And that was daffs or tulips?
Tulip.
Oh wow.
Sorry, yeah. Can we stop for a second? Because can we compare the pronunciation of tulips and tulips? I'm just loving it. I just want to... I'm sorry, director, but the way you say it is amazing. Can you say it again? Just once more.
Tulips?
Me. Oh.
Tulips?
Oh, sorry, carry on.
Tulips, tulips, tulips.
It's amazing.
Sorry, where were we? It was different, but now I do.
I can't stop hearing it. Tulips.
Tulips.
Sorry, where were we? Let's get back to the... Sorry.
Oh my God.
I love it. I love it. I thought it was, I mean, obviously that was very important, but I wondered what was going on for a second then.
I just had to.
I was like, what? Am I saying it wrong? What?
No, you're saying it right. We're saying it wrong, in my opinion. right. So they came just after Valentine's Day.
Yeah. They came right after Valentine's Day. In fact, they were blooming before the daffs were.
Did you have one specific variety that went first?
Exotic Emperor went first.
Ooh, I've got that one. Mine's just started blooming now. That's the white and green one, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so the one you told me I had to have.
You had to have that one.
It's just starting to bloom. And I cannot believe how tall that thing is.
Oh, it's so tall. I absolutely fall in love with that one more and more every year. And just the way that it opens and just how elegant it looks. And it just, I mean, it's beautiful from, you know, bud to, you know, it's blown. So I just, yeah, if you guys want a white tulip, look up Exotic Emperor. It's a beauty.
But it's nuts in comparison to, I've got Candy Prince growing, and that's a really early bloomer. And I love the colour of it. But compared to the height of that Exotic Emperor, I mean, it's got like 50% taller.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's by far the tallest, probably one of the tallest tulips that I'm growing.
Well, also, because of the green bits, and this is secondhand recycled knowledge that I definitely heard on Instagram, but I read that tulips that have that green tinge are the best for naturalizing because they're able to photosynthesize more through their petals as well as their leaves.
Oh, very interesting.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Science Sarah, you're welcome. Could be a lie, but that's what I heard.
But I mean, I suppose that does come on to the old harvesting question, because flower farmers are not growing for naturalizing.
Nope.
We're growing for flowers. Mm-hmm. And do you know, that is like the biggest, probably, not that I get hate mail or anything on Instagram, but the one thing that people go not happy about is when they see you pulling the bulbs out of the ground. People get mad about that.
Yeah. In fact, I stopped kind of posting bulbs just because it's, you know, a lot of people have so many questions about, you know, the bulbs and why we pull them and, you know, what are you doing and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, yeah, you won't see a lot of that on my feed anymore. But
no, I'm afraid to post anything with the bulbs again, because the DMs go wild every time.
Oh, the DMs go, you know, I already get so many. And then on that, on top of it, I'm just like, especially right now, you know, because I want to get back to everybody that I possibly can. And yeah, my DMs would just explode. But growing them in crates, it's so much easier to pull the bulb.
Mm. Oh, true.
It's so much easier to pull the bulb.
And I bet you've just got like one variety in one crate as well. Yeah. So they're all pretty much blooming together rather than you disturbing the ones next to them. Because obviously you got to be a bit more careful when you're pulling them out of the ground.
Yeah. So there's about 100 bulbs per crate that you can plant. I mean, they're tight in there. They're like eggs in a carton. Yeah, they're all kind of going at the same time, and it's super easy. I'll probably always grow them in crates from now on. Plus, I can move them around. So, like, you know, if we do have, you know, some sort of weather that comes in or whatever, like, I can move them around, or, you know, that kind of thing, or force some and, you know, have some be cooler than others. So I just like that flexibility, you know, and yeah. So I'm sold. I'm sold on the crate growing.
And just to like cover that tangent off, like the reason we pull them out of the ground is for the extra stem length.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone wasn't aware.
Yeah.
You're getting at least an extra 10 centimeters from pulling the whole bulb out of the ground. But I mean, you can't keep the bulb. You've got to chuck the bulb. It's useless for next year.
Yeah. So the difference is, yeah, it's all about the stem length, because obviously when you're growing for cuts, you want to have the longest stems possible. So if you don't care about stem length, just cut the stem and you can leave the bulb in. But if, you know, if you want the longest stem, then definitely pull the bulb, and you'd be shocked at the length of, you know, the stem underneath the dirt.
Well, and also you've got to leave the leaves, haven't you, for the bulb to have any hope next year.
Yep.
So you're actually not even cutting it to like the base of the ground, you're cutting it kind of.
Yeah, you're not even getting, you know, if you're going to leave them in and you've got to leave those leaves, then you're not even getting close to, you know, the stem length.
You're almost not even getting like a jam jar size, are you?
I would say maybe a mason jar, depending on the variety.
But you don't do that with daffs, right? When you're harvesting the daffodils,
no.
you don't pull the bulbs up for those.
You just kind of pull, tug a little bit, and it pops. And that's
like
you know, how you harvest your daffodils. And then, you know, you just let the foliage die back in the summertime. and we put a tarp or a, you know, a piece of landscape fabric over ours. As soon as the foliage dies back, we put a piece of landscape fabric or a tarp or whatever you've got available and over that, and so then it helps with the weeds. And so we just let that sit basically all fall, well, not in, into early fall, and then we pull it off, and then, you know, over the winter and stuff, they can you know, get that weather and the moisture and stuff like that, and then they'll just, they come up beautifully every year. So I just keep adding to my collection.
And what's earliest to bloom for you this year on the daffodils?
Oh gosh, it was actually pretty late for us, and I think it was because of, you know, the cold temps that we had. Because where the farm's at, we're in kind of this area where we tend to be a little bit cooler. We have this like microclimate almost where we're at. So ours were like a week or two later than everybody else's. So I'm seeing on Instagram, everybody's posting their daffs, and I'm like, ah, where's my daffs, you know, and stuff. And now they're just like blowing like crazy. So I can't cut them fast enough right now. It's just, I love daffodils. In fact, I didn't actually used to like daffodils, believe it or not, because I always thought of those like bright yellow, you know, standard trumpets. Mm. And they come in so many beautiful colors and just the fragrance. And I mean, there's just so many wonderful varieties out there now that I want to keep adding to my collection.
I think if you don't like daffodils, you haven't come across the right daffodil yet.
No. I mean, they're so, I mean, you can't help but smile when you look at them, you know? I mean, they just make you happy. So they're just like little rays of sunshine on a stem.
Mm. And do you get them growing all over the place in America?
Oh yeah, all over. In fact,
like, we get them, I don't know if this is true or not, and we definitely mentioned this on an episode before when we talked about bulbs, but rumor has it, urban legend, back in World War II, when there was all the food shortages, apparently we used to grow fields and fields and fields of daffodils here for the flowers or for the bulbs, I don't know. But then in World War II, they dug up all the bulbs to grow like potatoes and other produce for people to eat. Mm. And then chucked all the bulbs like on the sides of the roads or on the hillsides or whatever. And then they just like grew there, and now that's why we have so many daffodils. I'm sure that's not true, but I just love that, the idea of it. It's quite a romantic story, isn't it?
Well, sometimes I'll be driving on the freeway and you look over and there's just a cluster of daffodils and you just wonder, how'd that get there? Like, what's the story there? So yeah,
World War II, they threw them there.
Sarah's a scientist and Nicole's a historian.
Who knew?
Oh gosh, yeah. But no, I mean, if you guys haven't, if you want something that's super easy to grow and that you can just plant and forget it, and it's going to come back year after year after year, go for daffodils. They're amazing.
If you were limited on space, do you think you could like co-plant your daffodil beds with anything else? Like, could you get a late summer crop in there as well, do you think, or not?
Well, you've got to let the foliage die back. Mm. And that's the kicker. So sometimes the foliage for me doesn't, you know, depending on the weather, doesn't die back until July, sometimes August. It's still got a little bit of green to it. Yeah. So I just kind of give them their own space and just kind of let them do their thing. And they're happy. They perform for me every year, so I'm not going to mess with them.
Let them have their
Yeah, I'm going to let them have their moment. And no, it's a good relationship.
But if you were growing them in a border or something,
oh, yeah,
you could easily plant them with your tulips or alliums or something like that. You could do that, and then it would hide some of the foliage that was dying back. But you couldn't plant a tulip with them because you disturb the bulbs too much when you're pulling those up, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that with your tulips, if you just have a garden bed or something like that and you're not specifically growing them for cut flowers, then you can totally layer your bulbs, you know, with hyacinths and tulips and daffodils and muscaris and alliums and all of those good things. But you know, when I'm growing for cuts, I mean, I'm pulling the bulbs, so it's just too disturbing. But if you just have your around your house and stuff like that, go for it. I mean, the more bulbs the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you grow any hyacinths?
No, not yet. So I haven't, I mean, I have friends that do and they smell amazing.
Yeah, it's the scent, isn't it?
I just haven't gotten there yet.
I don't know who or when or someone on this podcast told me about the Hyacinth Gypsy King that's like a beautiful...
Yeah, that was me. That was me. Yeah. Gypsy Queen.
Gypsy Queen.
Sorry. Oh, how dare I? Gypsy Queen.
You're thinking of Gypsy Kings. I mean, I do love a bit of Gypsy Kings, but that's for a different type of podcast.
And mine have just bloomed, and they are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I just wanted to say that while we were talking about hyacinths. So, you know, they're like a peachy.
They're expensive, those ones. Pricey, yeah. But they are so worth it, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And don't they smell amazing?
They do. The scent alone is amazing. But like I said, I just haven't gotten there for adding them to my patch yet. But who knows? Next year we might see some hyacinths. But we'll see.
I always see like the Dutch growers when they show their fields of hyacinths, and I just think the smell
of
those fields must just be nuts.
Oh, I mean, just the smell alone in my daffodil patch, I can't even imagine what it's like in a field full of hyacinths. It's got to be insane.
So who was first of the daffodils this year?
Who was first? Ice King. Ice King's Ice always, King. Yeah. Ice
That's King. On my list for next year. I don't know why I didn't grow any this year, but I am loving Ice King on everybody's feeds this year.
Yeah, Ice King was the first, is always the first, always the first. And then it was followed up by British Gamble.
British Gamble. I cannot wait for that. I heard a story about British Gamble the other day as well, why it's called British Gamble.
Oh.
I'm full of the random facts today, by the way.
You are a historian.
Apparently some Dutch grower saw a picture of it growing in Britain. He was like, well, I'm just going to take a gamble on the British daffodil. And that's why it's called that.
Well, it is stunning and you guys have to grow it. It literally glitters.
Ugh, you know, I love a glittery flower.
Or sparkles, but I like the word glitter better. It is stunning. I absolutely love it. Grow it, must grow, write it down.
The other one that's like my, I feel very American saying this, by the way, my ride or die daffodil is Replete.
Oh, I am obsessed with Replete. And I am harvesting, I mean, I think I harvested 2 buckets of it yesterday alone. It is, everybody asks for it, everybody wants it. They're like, is that Replete? I mean, hands down, that's probably the number one requested daffodil that I get. Oh. Other than Early Cheer.
Oh, I love that one too.
I look forward to that little handful every year. It smells so delicious. Just, it looks like little pop, I don't want to say popcorn kernels, but it kind of does, like just little puffs of popcorn.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. They're kind of like really bunched up, frilly petals, aren't they?
Yes, I absolutely love that one. So, in fact, I ordered another 1,000 to put in the patch.
Just a handful.
But you know, whenever people come to our farm stand or you know, they see the daffodils or I post a photo, they're like, what is that? Every time.
Well, that's why we love you, because you don't do anything by halves. you commit. You're bloody growing daffodils.
That's how I've always been. It's always 100 miles an hour or nothing.
You're in harvesting mode. I know you can hardly keep up with harvesting, but when you are harvesting at the optimum time, it's for the daffodils, are you trying to harvest them when they're a bit more closed, just when they're coming into bud, when the buds are just kind of showing a petal lifting, or when is the best time, do you think, to harvest a daffodil?
So for me, what I've discovered is it depends on who you're selling it to.
Mm-hmm.
For me, in the farm stand, daffodils don't sell as well if they're just in bud stage. So as a cut flower farmer, you know, you're told to harvest in bud stage. If I'm selling to a florist, then I will sell them in bud stage, because obviously, you know, they're going to go in their cooler and all that stuff. For the people that come to our farm stand, they want to see them kind of open, like they want to see what they're buying, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So the daffodils don't necessarily sell as well if I sell them closed versus more open. So it just depends on, you know, who I'm selling it to, I guess. But technically you're supposed to harvest them when they're in bud stage. But, you know, obviously you want to showcase what the bloom looks like and, you know, that kind of stuff too. So it just depends.
And the tulips are obviously different because you're waiting for them to kind of color up, aren't you, before you pull those out?
Yeah. So you want to make sure that they're showing a little bit of color. So just when that color starts to come on, you can harvest them. And then if you're You can store them if you pull the bulb. So here's a fun fact. So if you pull the bulb, you can actually, that food source is still attached. You can put them in your cooler. I've heard people that they will last in your cooler for up to a month.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
But am I right in saying that when you put them in the cooler, that you should store them upright?
So I store mine in a bulb crate laying flat.
Hmm. Oh, okay. I heard some people this year complaining that they're bulbs kind of started bending towards the light. Your cooler's dark though, isn't it? Yeah. With the door shut.
Yeah, it's dark. So yeah, I just lay them flat in that bulb crate and then they store beautifully as long as that bulb is attached. If the bulb's not attached, then that's a different story. But if the bulb's attached, they still have that food source. Tulips are amazing. I mean, bulbs in general are amazing. Mm-hmm. And just what comes out of them. I find them beautiful when you put them in the ground, just looking at the bulbs. But then what they produce is just absolutely stunning. So I'm in love.
I was just going to say, what I love about like daffodils and tulips and all those kind of things is that you don't need to do a lot to them for them to look amazing. Mm. Like you can just buy a bunch of daffodils or a bunch of tulips by themselves and they just look so happy in a vase, don't they? Just by themselves looking cheerful, all spring-like and lovely.
Yeah, I mean, what I love is like they just stand alone beautifully. You know, you can obviously, you know, mix them, you know, as soon as you've kind of rested your daffodils. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, they're just stunning on their own. I just like to keep each variety in its own bunch. You can mix them, obviously, but there's something so simple and so beautiful about each one of them. They're just all so different, but yet the same. You know, it's kind of like dahlias. They're all, you know, different, but yet the same. So yeah. They all have their unique qualities, I guess you could say. My love continues to grow every year.
And you mentioned about resting the daffodils, and that, just in case any of the listeners aren't aware, when you cut them, they've got a sap that leaks out of them, and that's poisonous to the flowers, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's poisonous to other flowers. So whenever you're harvesting daffodils or anything like that, you want to make sure that you keep them separate, and then you just let them rest. I let mine rest for 24 hours because you want to make sure that sap isn't still leaking out of the stem. I don't know. It's almost like aloe vera at times.
It's like slime.
Yeah, it kind of leaks out the bottom. Finn, my 5-year-old, was out there harvesting daffodils with me yesterday, and he's like, "This has toxic sap. This has toxic sap." He's like, "Don't." It
sounds
funny.
Like a ringtone.
I know. Yeah. So, but yeah, you want to make sure that they rest, you know, for a good 24 hours. And then if you're going to mix them with other flowers, don't recut the stems. Because when you recut the stems, it sets you back to square one. So you can mix them with other flowers, but just not right away. You've got to make sure that all of that seepage is done.
And have you noticed that some are slimier than others?
Yes, absolutely.
It was not just me imagining that.
No. Like early cheer doesn't drip or leak at all. Mm. It was lemon chiffon, and it was literally just dripping out the bottoms of
like
the stem.
Oozing out of the bottom of it. They can be disgusting, some of them. I picked yesterday a new variety for me. I don't know, you probably grow this one because you've got thousands of them. But I don't know if I'm saying this right, but curlew.
I don't grow that one.
I don't think she's a great cut flower because she's a little bit on the shorter side, so I probably wouldn't bother. But I had some in pots that were going out. Well, actually, I say I had them in pots. I actually had them in a shopping bag. So I had a shopping bag that I chucked a load of bulbs into, and then I brought the bag outside and I was like, I'm going to plant these bulbs. And then I feel like I left the bag out there and then I turned around. I mean, it was like 3 months later, but now there's daffodils and tulips all growing out of this shopping bag.
I really want to see this on your feed.
I do too.
Just like, you know, like a Tesco bag for life. Mm.
I feel like
it is a Tesco bag for life.
That's a good aesthetic.
I think people will be horrified by my just callous nature if I just chuck them in there. But yeah, it's spelled C-U-R-L-E-W. And it's this beautiful kind of pale yellow with like a more yellow trumpet. And it's got a really small head. And that one had like no sap at all.
Huh. Yeah, it's crazy. Some are just, you know, sappier than others. I guess kind of like people. Some people are sappier than others, but it just depends on the variety. One of my favorite yellows is Art Design. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh, that's the one that's really like got the orangey yellow curly middle.
It's more of, I feel like it's more of like a buttercreamy yellow. It's got a really heavy, heavy head on it, but oh man, that's one of my favorite, one of my absolute favorites is Art Design. So write that one down. But yeah, Art Design. Look that one up.
She's pretty.
It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
We're both googling.
I know. As we Google quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Art Design, and then.
Carry on.
Because it's actually, I know it feels like a weird time to be talking about spring bulbs, doesn't it? But this is the time of year when you're looking at everybody else's bulbs, because as ridiculous as it sounds, like, you're going to have to order your bulbs again soon, right?
Yeah.
And you've already ordered some, but here, like, May is the time to order bulbs.
So kind of the rule of thumb is you always want to order when it's blooming.
Mm-hmm.
So for flower farmers, that's what they always say is, you know, order your bulbs when it's blooming. So I've ordered all of my fall bulbs already, all of my ranunculus, anemones, tulips, daffs, all of it. Check that box. But yeah, you do want to, you know, what I like is watching everybody else's kind of varieties, the ones that I haven't grown, so that I can see, hey, do I like that one? Do I want to add that one to my list for next year?
So what we're saying basically is that this is an interactive episode, and that you, like me, listening at home, should be just adding things to your basket as we go along, because that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
I'm not writing it down. I'm just like, add a few hundred of those. Thank you. A few of those.
Add to cart. Add to cart.
And then I'll check out when we say goodbye.
Yeah, there you go. I won't steer you wrong. I promise. I won't steer you wrong.
You've kept us on the straight and narrow so far.
We
are a little bit poorer, but
a little bit. Yeah,
we're happier.
Mm.
Oh, you guys. Yeah, no, you gotta put some daffodils in, even if it's just a little bag of 20. You'll mm-hmm. be so glad that you did. So glad that you did.
I love them. You've just got. I just think that there's so much more to daffodils now than the
bright yellow ones, you know, that we've always
yeah,
seen.
The old-fashioned varieties. One of the other ones I like, and I can't remember its like official name, but it's that one, I think they call it the pheasant's eye.
Oh, yeah. I don't grow that one yet either, but my collection
They grow
continues.
Wild next to my house. There's hundreds of them.
Ooh.
You lucky duck.
I just see them there, although we did have drama in our village recently where somebody on the, like, you know, Facebook page said, I saw somebody at the bottom of the village picking arms and arms of tulips, of daffodils, of the wild daffodils, and apparently this guy was just like taking all of the daffodils that just bloomed like in the woodland area, and people were mad.
Yeah, I would have been mad too. Like, if they're natural. Oh,
I mean, boo. It's one thing taking one, isn't it? But apparently he was just like harvesting them all.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
It's not cool.
No, that's not cool. Not cool. So are we talking favorite daffodil varieties really quick?
Yes.
Well, we have got the super secret side episode. Oh, sorry. We're going to go into some more information, but I feel like we need to give the other listeners a couple of little treats for the list.
Okay, little treat. Are you ready?
Hit me.
Okay. Obdum.
Oh.
Oh, I want that one. Oh. I want that one.
I love that one. Obdum is absolutely stunning.
How would one spell that for one's shopping basket?
O-B-D-A-M.
Obdum.
Yeah.
Obdum. It's amazing.
It's white and fluffy, and it's like a peony.
Yes. Yes. It's, I can't even talk about it, literally. I'm tripping over my own tongue.
How does it smell?
It's amazing. Ooh. Amazing. It's just coming on right now, so I just harvested my first bunches of that yesterday.
Oh,
but it is...
top of the list for next year.
Oh, it's so good. I would say my top two would probably be Obdum... top three. Okay, Obdum, Art Design, and Replete. Oh gosh, no, early Cheer. Sorry, four.
can never have a top three.
I know, I can never have a top three. I should know better by that by now, but Obdum for sure. Popeye is really good. White Lion is really good.
What happened to three, Marin? Slow down, I can't shop quick enough. Oh, Jesus.
I know, I'm sorry.
And what about the flower that begins with T? We want you to say it.
Tulips?
We love it.
Tulips?
Give us your top five.
Top five?
We know tulips? Three is too difficult, yeah.
Okay, so top five, you ready? Here we go. I was prepared. I have a little post-it note next to my laptop. Okay.
Ooh.
Dreamer.
Dreamer.
That's the one you sent me a little while ago.
Nicole, so I sent you a picture. Yes, Nicole, Dreamer needs to be on your list. It is,
yeah,
if you want to talk a tulip that looks like a peony, Dreamer is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, added to basket, carry on.
Yes. Okay.
Interactive, Pink's, guys.
Yeah, I know. Pink Star. Pink Star is...
Ooh, I had some Pink Star this year, but unfortunately, they were moldy.
I'm going to send you a picture, Nicole. It
Don't
is...
buy cheap bulbs, guys.
Oh, okay. So Pink Star, Foxtrot. I'm on the pink train.
That's your favorite.
I'm on the pink train. Exotic Emperor, of course. We just already talked about that one. And then I'm going to add one more because you guys are making me do a top five. Avant-Garde.
Ooh. I planted lots of Avant-Garde this year. I can't wait to see it. And it's not, you wouldn't think that would be me, would you?
Uh-uh. So you need to add another one. Okay, so I'm going to do a six.
Okay. Why am I not surprised?
It's La Vie. Yeah. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's kind of like the sister to La Belle Epoque. So it's L-A and then V-I-E. And look that one up.
Is that just it? La Vie?
La Vie. That's it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So check that one out.
Ooh.
So, Nicole, I gave you a lot of pink eye candy today.
You. Oh, my word.
Yes.
What is that?
It's the sister to La Belle.
Some bad news. It doesn't look very easy to get in England. So, Nicole, you might have to cry yourself to sleep.
You and me need to have a conversation after this because I got a contacts these days. I sound like a drug dealer.
I think you are.
A bulb dealer. I have been sourcing contacts in the biz, so maybe I can get my hands on some of these bad boys. But on that note, leaving me sounding like a drug dealer here, I think we should wrap up. Do you want to go with your favourite question, Sarah?
I mean, we've asked you this approximately 10 times now, but we're in a new year, a new season. If you could give the people one piece of advice, what would it be?
It's always get stuff in the dirt.
Mm.
Just do it.
If in doubt, plant it.
If in doubt, plant it. Whether it's bulbs, you know, plants from your local nursery, get stuff in the ground. You will never, ever be sorry that you did it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, there's something so therapeutic for me about getting my hands dirty and getting in the dirt. And then, you know, once those flowers bloom, like I said earlier, you know, you forget all of the hard work that goes into it when you see those flowers bloom. And it just makes you smile.
Mm.
And it makes other people smile too. So
you always regret not doing
exactly.
it rather than doing
exactly.
it. So do it, people. You heard it. The director of Enabling told you to do it. So you have to do it.
Those are the rules.
Yep, yep.
And I can't believe that anybody doesn't know where to find you already. You know, you're like almost as regular a feature of this podcast as Sarah and I are. But if the people need to find you, if they're new, your Instagram is the Farmhouse Flower Farm.
Yep.
And your website's the same, isn't it?
Yep.
.com.
Yep. Yep. I'm the Farmhouse Flower Farm. And do we want to give the listeners that little tidbit of news that's coming?
Well, you're the boss.
I'm not the boss. I'm
literally
the guest.
The director, so you know what you're saying.
Guess who's coming to London? Guess who's coming to London? Yay!
Very exciting to finally
I know.
Meet Marin. And who knows, we might even be able to, me and Sarah might even be able to finally meet each other. If it takes you coming from the west coast of America for me and Sarah to meet, I mean,
I know.
I don't know what to say.
I think we should go to a speakeasy bar and make the password to get in tulips.
Tulips. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So watch this space, people. We will definitely post some pics on our Insta. I'm sure Marin will be spamming everybody on hers too. So
I cannot wait. It is going to be so much fun. So much fun. We're only there for a few days, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
I never get off the farm, but when I do, I go to a different country.
She goes big. Like we said, we told you, this woman does not do things by halves.
I've got a hard deadline. So
well, thank you very much for making time in your mega busy schedule, which is even busier because you've got a week out of it in London. But we've absolutely loved chatting to you again, as always.
Thank you for having me, you guys. It's been awesome to talk to you, and I will see you in a week.
Oh. It's outro time.
Thank you so much for listening and for your support. We are loving this season so far.
And we hope you are too. If you love the episode as much as we love doing it, then we would be so grateful if you left us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can also subscribe, and you can find us on Instagram for more of our adventures at Let's Go Girls Podcast.
We're really grateful having you here, listening to all of our interviews with our amazing guests. And we hope that you carry on enjoying the rest of the season.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. You sounded really far away when you said that. You sat back.
Yeah, because I didn't want to shout at our people, you know.